and to listen to your heart. Lord, we're living in very tumultuous days of battle, Lord, and you are our strong defense. You are the Lord of hosts. You are a refuge to your people, Lord. You say, blessed is the man who trusts in you. Blessed are those who seek you with their whole heart, for you are good, Lord, and you give what is good. You're abundant in mercy, and you are near to all who call upon you, who call upon you in truth. So, Lord, we just gird that belt around our waist now, Lord, as we come before you and ask you to speak your truth to our hearts, Lord, that we would fall on our knees in repentance, Father. We give you all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. This morning, we started with the story of Hannah and her barrenness in 1 Samuel chapter 1. Here was a woman whose womb was closed because the Lord closed it. And so she was in great agony and great anguish as a result of it. And her story was a picture of Israel in that day, their barrenness, their brokenness. They were a people who were very rebellious and idolatrous and neglectful. It was the time of the judges where everyone was doing what was right in their own eyes and giving no consideration to God. They were a neglectful nation. They were disobedient. And Hannah's prayer, which God placed upon her by closing her womb, her prayer of anguish gave birth not only to a son, but to what would be the reformation and restoration of a nation, because her son would become a leader who would anoint the first kings of Israel. So this noon hour during this season of 21 days is for us to get intimate with the heart of God, with the anguish of God, and to see from his perspective the ruins around us, the barrenness that is around us. You know, we can look at the world and we can see all of the desolation, all the darkness that exists there. But do we see the barrenness, the worldliness that is weakening the church, the body of Christ? We have become very worldly in the way that we do things, and God intends us to be holy. He says, be holy because I am holy. But most people don't want to change. They don't want to be disciplined. They don't want to be corrected. And we found ourselves like in the days of the prophets, Jeremiah and Ezekiel, where people have closed their ears to the Lord and say, stop confronting us with the Holy One of Israel. They want to be where they want to be. They don't want to change. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 tells us that all scripture is given by God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And maybe that's why many Christians don't read their Bibles. They don't study to show themselves approved. They're not students of the word because they don't want correction. They don't want to change. You know, we as a people are more in love with the world and infatuated with its entertainments instead of in love with the word of God and the God of the word. Our eyes perk up and our attention is caught when we get to hear the latest news story or the latest celebrity gossip. But when the word of God is spoken, our ears become distracted and we begin to fall back asleep. Hannah was in such deep anguish. She was in extreme pain and distress in the days that she was living in as a barren woman. She was passionate about finding an answer to her barrenness. She wanted to hear from God, and so passionate that when she offered her prayer up to the Lord, she made a vow to God that if he gave her what she wanted, what she longed for, she would give it right back to him. She would dedicate the gift that he gave her and give it to him for his whole life. Her anguish for motherhood was so agonizing that she found in the process of crying out for what she so desperately wanted in the presence of God day after day, night after night, year after year, she found that what she wanted most was the Lord, was the honor of God. And so she was willing. Her anguish connected her with the heart of God. So as she prayed, she realized that what she wanted was what she needed to give up to God. God put that burden on her heart so that she would come to him for the answer. And what she found in her anguish was a deep, agonizing desire for the presence of God. God gave her his heart. And that's what he's wanting to do in this season for us. God showing us his heart. Are we going to listen? Are we going to receive what he has for us? She felt the true burden of God for his people in the times that she was living with. And in her poverty, her own personal poverty, she began to see the ruin around her. God was showing that to her. That's why he gave her this burden to carry. He wanted her to see something more than her own pain and suffering. He wanted her to see the pain and suffering of her people that were apart from God. God chose her and showed her the answer to her. Her answer would be the riches for all the people. The blessing that he gave her would be a blessing to others and ultimately to the kingdom of God. Hannah's son Samuel, the gift from God that she received, would lead the nation forward into a new era, into the time of the kingdom, the new kings. And her story, which started in barrenness, which began in anguish, was the beginning of God's plan for restoration and renewal. And so we see in it a picture of what God's doing in our day, that he's giving us an opportunity to enter into his anguish for the world and its separation from him and the church and his desire to have us near to him. Hannah suffered not just, you know, the barrenness of her closed womb. She also suffered constant torment and ridicule from Peninnah, her husband's other wife. And it's the same in our day. It's a picture of Jesus. His name is being defamed, right? And the church is being disdained for what we believe and what we stand on. And, you know, God has given us in this season an opportunity to stand under the banner of his militant name, Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. He's the God of warfare. As we saw yesterday in the story of Joshua, that he is a God who prepares his people for battle. He's waiting for us at the front lines. He's already gone ahead of us, and he's going to be the one to lead us in, and he's going to be the one to fight our battles for us. So like Israel about to enter the promised land, they needed to go through a circumcision of the flesh. We have to have some cutting in our lives, right? There needs to be things that are cut out, and we need to have that circumcision of the heart. And how we do that is in repentance. He's calling his people to the altar, not just us here in this sanctuary, but all across the land and the world. He's calling us to the altar, and it's time to confess. He wants us to unburden our hearts and give them to God so he can bless us. And he's showing us his heart. And he's looking for people who are willing to see his anguish and feel his agony over the desolation in the world. People who give themselves over to prayer, who will stand in the gap with him, who are willing, unlike his disciples in the hour of his greatest need in the Garden of Gethsemane, people who are willing to stay awake for just 1 hour. And that's what he's given us in this noon hour, this hour, to join him in his intercession for all the ruin, to weep and to fast and to mourn and to pray until he pours out his spirit upon his people. Hannah, in her barrenness and in her anguish, she poured out her heart to the Lord. And in doing so, she went out with joy, and she was filled with peace. She was transformed in her countenance. The Lord of hosts is here with us, with his mighty sword drawn to wake us out of our spiritual complacency so that we can take a stand and have the strength to fight in the days that we are in. The enemy wants to get the fight out of us. The Lord of hosts wants to put the fight back into us. And he's come to show himself strong on our behalf in this season. We're here in this hour to acknowledge his power and our weakness. Hannah learned the lesson for today that when we pray, we gird human weakness with divine strength. That's what we're here to do today. We need to ask ourselves, do we really want God's heart? Do we really want to open up ourselves to feel the anguish that he feels for the ruin that's all around us? He intends to bring us near to himself. That's what this season is for. He says in the 46th Psalm, which is our theme psalm, that he's our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. So we need to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt us in due time and cast all of our cares upon him, because he cares for us. He loves us. He cares about us. We need to repent so that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. And returning in rest is our salvation. And we're powerless as a body until we do. We're weak until we repent. So the prayer today is that God would baptize us with that spirit of anguish, that his heart, give us his heart of agony for the condition of the world that we're living in, for the condition of his church, his bride. And so we will repent and receive the refreshment that he wants to bring to us. He's given us a burden, and it's his burden. It's the burden of his heart, and he wants us to get into his presence and to seek his face. So for this hour, we're going to get on our face. We're going to pray. You can sit where you're at. I would just encourage you, when you pray, if you're going to remain in your seat, pray out loud so everybody can hear you. There's also a microphone stand in the middle of the aisle. You can go there and pray, or you can come up here and kneel and use this microphone. We just want to join our hearts together in prayer. And I want to encourage our friends, Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, and other places throughout the country, wherever you're at. When you hear the pauses, when you hear the silence, take time to just listen to the Spirit. That's what it's for. Don't be afraid of the silence. It's there for a reason. Where God is here in the midst of us, and he's wanting to share his heart. Sometimes we can be so busy talking and filling the space with noise that we don't take time to listen. And prayer is a two-way conversation. It's not just us telling him what we think he wants to hear. Prayer is an opportunity for us to hear his heart. So I just want to encourage you, when there's silence here, lift up your voices in prayer. Fill the space with your prayers. And then have your journal, open your prayer journal, and write what you're hearing from the Lord. And have your sword, your Bible open to pray the scriptures. We're going to go before the Lord now and just seek his heart and pray. Pray how the Spirit leads. We're standing in the gap, so this is not just about our own personal repentance. This is about what we need to be praying for in repentance for the church, for the body of Christ to make us stronger, and for the world. We want times of refreshing to come to this land. We want to fulfill what the scriptures have told us in 2 Chronicles 7:14. We want the Lord to come and heal our land. So let's go before him now and lift up our hearts and allow him to do his cutting and refining work. Heavenly Father, Hannah suffered because you closed her womb, but that through her anguish, your power and glory would be shown. We're suffering unnecessarily when we turn from you and your word. So help us to hear what the Spirit is speaking to the church in this season, and help us to humble ourselves before the Lord. You say that the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The righteous cry out to the Lord, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of their troubles. So, Lord, we just want to hear your heart right now. We want you to come in with your launderer's soap and your refiner's fire and do the necessary cleansing and purifying that needs to happen in each of our hearts in order to clear the blockage that's stopping the flow of heavenly blessings to come into our lives and through our lives to bless our families, our church, our communities, our nations, and the world. So, Lord, we're just asking for mercy right now. We're asking for your grace. Guide us as we pray. Show us what you would have us to confess in your mighty name. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me. Lord, we need to repent of worldliness. You say that the world has come into the church, and we'd rather be entertained than be in your word. Matthew 13:22 says, "The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but then worries about this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it and making it unfruitful." Luke 9:25 says, "What good is it for a man to gain the whole world, yet lose or forfeit his own soul?" John 15:19 says, "As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I chose you out of the world." God, we repent of our worldliness, Lord, forgive us. In 1 Corinthians 3, Lord, you say, "Brothers, I could not address you as spiritual, but as worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not ready. You are still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere men?" Lord, forgive us as we read those words, as we hear those words, Lord. If we're still, Lord, drinking just the milk of the word and not feasting, God, on the great banquet that you prepared for us in yourself, the meat of it, God. Lord, show us the error of our ways. Bring us to your banqueting table of love and let us feast on it, Lord, and see how good you truly are. In Romans 12, you say, "Do not conform any longer to the bad pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." So, Lord, help us to no longer be conformists, but nonconformists, those who'll be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Help us to be men and women of the word, diligent students, God, that you can come in, Lord, and take captive our minds and strengthen our spiritual armor in these days that we're living in. We want to look like you, Jesus. Jesus, you are eternally minded. Help us not to be temporally minded. Help us not to be focused on the things of the world, the visible things. Give us eyes like Moses to see the invisible. You said, Lord, yourself, that your kingdom is not of this world and neither is ours. This is not our home as your children. We're just pilgrims passing through. So, Father, forgive us, Lord. We pray that you'd forgive us of our conforming spirit, being conforming to this world. We ask that you would forgive us, Lord, for our worldliness, for thinking about temporal, earthly things, and neglecting things of eternal value. Help us to store up our treasures in heaven, Lord. We just confess this, Lord, that we are not doing that. Do your refining work in our life, we pray. We lay our hearts bare before you. Show us, Lord, the deceptiveness of our hearts and our wicked ways, we pray. This is Daniel's prayer. In Daniel 9, then I set my face toward the Lord to make request by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession and said, O Lord, great and awesome God who keeps his covenant and mercy with those who love him and with those who keep his commands, we have sinned and committed iniquity. We have done wickedly and rebelled, even by departing from your precepts and your judgments. O Lord, righteousness belongs to you, but to us shame of face as it is this day, because we have sinned against you, Lord. To the Lord our God belongs mercy and forgiveness. Though we have rebelled against him, we have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which he has set before us. We have transgressed your law, and this great disaster has come upon us. All this disaster has come upon us, yet we have not made our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand your truth. O Lord, according to all of your righteousness, let your anger and your fury be turned away. For your sake and the cause of your, make your face shine on this nation, on your sanctuary, Lord. Incline your ear and hear, And open your eyes and see our desolations, Lord. We set these supplications before you because, not because of our righteous deeds, but because of your mercies, Lord. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen and act. Do not delay for your own sake, my God, for your city and your people are called by your name. Jesus, show us the error of our ways, Lord. Forgive us for allowing the disaster to come upon our land. Lord, you have told us that you want us to worry less and pray more. So we confess the sin of worry, which is a close relative to fear. It enslaves the worrier with anxiety, with apprehension, with uneasiness, robs us of your perfect peace, which you alone provides, Lord. You told us in Matthew 6:34 that we should not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. In Luke 12, you tell us, are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies, yet not one of them is forgotten by God? Indeed, the very hairs of your head are numbered. Don't be afraid. You are worth more than the sparrows. You told your disciples, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. Life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow nor reap. They have no storehouse or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than the birds. Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? Since you cannot do this very thing, why do you worry about the rest? Lord, we confess and repent of this sin of worry. It is a sin because it means we do not trust in you. Jesus, we want to be like you. Your character is peace-filled. In John 14:27, you told your disciples, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Lord, I pray that settles upon the hearts of your people today, those who are filled with fear and anxiety and worry about the future. You are a sovereign God. You have everything in your hands. Help us to trust you, Lord, and receive your peace, to submit our requests to you, Lord, knowing that you will give us the peace that passes all understanding. Forgive us of this sin of worry. Help us to trust you, Lord Jesus. Lord, in Daniel, it says that while he was still speaking and praying and confessing his sin and the sin of his people Israel and presenting his supplication before the Lord his God for the holy mountain of God, while he was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I'd seen in a vision, he says at the beginning, reached him at the time of the evening offering, and he said to him, O Daniel, I have now come forth to give you skill to understand. At the beginning of your supplications, the command went out, and I have come to tell you, for you are greatly beloved. Lord, let it be so of us that while we are still speaking and praying and confessing our sin to you, that you send forth your angels. Lord, you say that you are the commander of the armies of heaven. You are Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts, the commander of the armies of heaven. Send forth your messengers to minister to your people. Lord, show us where we are weak and where we need strength. Show us where we don't understand and we need understanding. Show us where we need to gain wisdom. But it will only come when we're in prayer and praying and confessing our sin. Empty us of ourself, Lord, of all the self, of all the sin, of all the flesh, of all the world. And fill us with the fullness of yourself. That is the duty of the Christian, to always be empty and coming to you for supply, for you are our fountain of hope, truth, light, life. Fill us, Lord Jesus, with the fullness of yourself. Show us the things we need to be emptied of, Lord. Speak to our hearts now in the silence. Help us to hear your heart. Show us ours. Lord, we know our hearts are deceptive and wicked above all things. You've told us to guard the heart because it's a wellspring of life. So right now, Lord, we know that there is filth in our lives, things that are polluting that pure stream of living water, that's stopping up the fountain. We can't be that irrepressible fountain of life to others for them to drink from. So right now, speak to each one of our hearts personally. Wherever we are, Lord, show us. What is the sin that's standing in the way, that's blocking us from hearing you, receiving the blessing of your ministers who will come and minister to our heart and give us revelation and understanding of your word. Show us, Lord Jesus, we are before you. Give us eyes to see and a heart to obey.
Father, sprinkle us with clean water and we will be clean. Cleanse us from all of our idols and all of our filthiness. Lord, come to us, Father, in our time of prayer, time of bringing before you our sins, Lord, the ways that we have turned our heart away from you, Lord. God, we ask that you would put a new heart and a new spirit in each of us, in your children, in the church, Lord, revive us. We ask that you would remove our hard heart of stone. Lord, there are ways that I don't even flinch at sin anymore, and I need to be broken. God, remove my hard heart of stone and replace it with a heart of flesh, Lord, that loves you, that longs for you, Father. God, that turns to you instead of any other thing. God, I ask that you forgive me for turning to food, entertainment, anything that fills up my flesh rather than you, Lord, to fill up my soul and my spirit. God, I pray that you will cause us to walk in your ways, Lord. Bring revival to your church. Bring revival to our homes. And let it start right here, God, with me. Lord, just come as we seek your face, as we bow before you, Lord. Would you please answer our prayers? Revive your church, O Lord.
To the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those things who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them to be liars. And you have persevered and have patience, and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. But this you have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Lord, show us the height from which we have fallen. Lord, forgive us that we have allowed that flame of fire within us to dwindle down to a bare, smoking ember. Lord, we thank you that you, a smoking flax, you do not snuff out, but that you're willing to blow upon us with your Spirit, Lord, and ignite first love's fire within us again. That's what this season is all about. You're drawing us close to yourself. You're reminding us that you're with us. You have your sword drawn and it's held high, and you're wanting to do that cutting and refining work to prepare us for battle. You've already given us the victory. We don't have to fight any battle. We just need to let you do the work in our lives that you purpose to do, Lord. That's where the greater battle is. It's an easy thing for you to heal a lame person or give sight to the blind. You can raise the dead, but to turn an unwilling, rebellious, disobedient heart, now that's a difficult thing. We need to yield, Lord, yield our wills to you. Forgive us that we dig our heels in, that we see where we're wrong, but we won't be moved. Where we see we stand in your way and we're not disturbed by it at all. Where we see the ruin in the land, but we are completely apathetic. Father, forgive us. Lord, come with that flame of fire and stoke that fire within us again. I pray in this season, Lord, we taste and see how good you are, reminded of, Lord, the delicacies of your table, Lord, and delight in the richest affair, so that our souls will be satisfied with you and only you, Lord Jesus. Show us the obstacles in our life, Lord. Show us those things that are blocking our view of you and your majesty. Show us those areas that need to be removed so that we can walk in liberty and freedom and be victorious, going forth as conquerors to conquer. And so we can, above all, bring glory to your name, Jesus. Come and minister to our hearts. Thank you. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. Alas, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a brood of evildoers, children who are corruptors. They have forsaken the law, Lord. They have provoked to anger the Holy One of Israel. They have turned away backward. Why should you be stricken again? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faints. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Strangers devour your land in your presence, and it is desolate, as overthrown by strangers. Unless the Lord of hosts had left to us a very small remnant, we would have become like Sodom. We would have been made like Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear to the law of our God, you people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices to me, says the Lord? I have had enough of burnt offerings of rams. I do not delight in the blood of bulls. When you come to appear before me, who has required this from your hand to trample my courts? Bring no more futile sacrifices. Incense is an abomination to me. I cannot endure iniquity in the sacred meeting. When you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash yourselves. Make yourselves clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Rebuke the oppressor. Defend the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now, and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Lord, have mercy on us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for bringing us to the fountain of cleansing. God, we thank you that according to your word, if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank you, Lord, for giving us clean hands and clean feet and clean heart for the road before us, Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens, and let your glory be over all the earth. We exalt your holy name, Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts, for it's in your glorious, high, holy, and forgiving name, Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. I just want to remind you that there is no prayer service at the 6 o'clock hour tonight or the 3 o'clock in Chino Hills. We won't be live streaming for the regularly scheduled church services on Wednesday evening. I'll look forward to seeing you at 9 o'clock tomorrow. Be blessed and have a good evening. Thank you all.